A lot of people had their first glimpse of gay life through the 1970 film The Boys in the Band.
What I am, Michael, is a 32-year-old, ugly, pockmarked Jew fairy. And if it takes me a while to pull myself together, and if I smoke a little grass before I get up the nerve to show my face to the world, it's nobody's business but my own. And how are you this evening?
Well, that'll give you a sense of what made the film so controversial. It was praised for breaking the taboo against depicting homosexuals on screen, but it was criticized for presenting stereotypical characters and dwelling on their self-hatred. The movie was written by Mart Crowley, adapted from his 1968 off-Broadway play, The Boys in the Band. A new revival is running off-Broadway. The play is included in Crowley's new book, Three Plays, and the film is about to be shown at the Philadelphia Gay and Lesbian Film Festival, where Crowley will make an appearance. The story is about a group of gay men who get together at a birthday party. The party begins with a lot of zippy wisecracking and ends with a nasty truth-telling game about their love lives in which everyone becomes emotionally undone. I asked Crowley how reaction to Boys in the Band has changed since it was first staged in 1968.
Well, you know, when it was first produced, it was prior to the Stonewall Riot and prior to what is generally accepted as the turning point for gay liberation. So the play was quite stunning at that time on a totally social level. It was the first time that a play had appeared in which there were homosexual characters who were homosexual up front from the time the curtain went up, and they just took the homosexual lifestyle for granted as a base for human experience and then went forward. It was not used as any kind of revelatory gimmick for the last act in which, it's revealed that somebody is homosexual, which had been done in plays prior to this.
Do you think there's a difference between how the character of Emery, who's the most flamboyant of the characters and the biggest queen of the characters, how he is interpreted now and how he's interpreted in the original production? Is there a difference?
I think that Emery now is more, he's a much more defiant. His flamboyance it's clearly much more of a weapon when he completely confronts the straight character in the play or the character who is considered straight or on the fence or whatever. It's never really made totally clear. When he confronts Alan, who represents the straight world, I think it's much more clear that he uses his flamboyance as a defiance, as a weapon. And I think that the anger that is represented by that could be seen as his future, really. I mean, the rage that is contained in that flamboyance, I think, would indicate that of all the characters, he might be the one who goes on to some sort of militancy.
One of the most famous lines in The Boys in the Band is, "Show me a happy homosexual and I'll show you a gay corpse." And the play is really so much about self-hatred. And I was wondering, when you wrote the play, if you saw the self-hatred expressed in the play as being an inherent part of homosexuality or a kind of reaction to the oppression and homophobia within society.
At the time, I was just writing from a real subconscious point of view. So it is with hindsight that I can only say that perhaps it was the pressures of society which formed my own opinion and is reflected in the play. I mean, at that time, in 1967, homosexuality was considered a mental illness by the American Medical Association. The Catholic Church told you that you were going to hell if you lived this lifestyle. I think my parents expected me to get married and to have children and to keep the name of the family going. I was the last male of the line. And I felt this burden, a responsibility toward my family, the burden of God, as I was Catholic and had been to Catholic school all my life and taught the teachings of the Catholic Church. And then I was emotionally confused about my sexuality, my psychosexuality, if you will. And I started to see a psychiatrist about that. And at that time, one of the alternatives was to go into psychoanalysis in order to be, quote-unquote, cured of one's homosexuality. That was an option. I don't know that I considered that, but I just had to discuss this with somebody because the sexual confusion was quite disturbing to me. And
so
all of these elements are in the play, particularly in the character of Michael, which I always consider to be the most autobiographical character and the one who has the biggest problem with sexual confusion and self-loathing and so forth, the thing that most of the other characters do not have and I think have been labeled as having, hopefully in a calmer climate such as today, one can look back on the play and see that characters like Emery, whom we've been talking about, does not have any problem with his homosexuality whatsoever, nor do the lovers in the play.
I'd like to play a short excerpt of the film The Boys in the Band.
Mm-hmm.
And this is toward the very end of the movie where the birthday party has kind of fallen apart. Everybody has emotionally torn each other apart.
Mm-hmm.
And the birthday boy, as he's leaving, played by Leonard Fry, mm-hmm. Tells Michael that he's basically a sad and pathetic man.
Mm-hmm.
And you've just said Michael is the character most based on you. Why don't we play this little talk?
All right.
You're a homosexual and you don't want to be. But there's nothing you can do to change it. Not all your prayers to your God. Not all the analysis you can buy in all the years you've got left to live. You may very well one day be able to know a heterosexual life, if you want it desperately enough, if you pursue it with the fervor with which you annihilate. But you'll always be homosexual as well. Always, Michael. Always. Until the day you die.
What were you thinking about when you wrote those lines?
Well, I think Harold is a...
Harold was the Leonard Fry character.
Harold is
speech.
The Leonard Fry character and the most worthy adversary, if you will, to Michael. I think he's the one who tells the truth, who tells it like it is, who tells Michael that he's a sad and pathetic man because he won't face his true identity and that he won't come out of the closet and stop pretending and stop trying to pass, if you will. Harold just uses Michael's own weapon, which is an attack on everybody else's life for not announcing their homosexuality. He uses it against him, and he wins, so to speak, because of his simplicity and his truthfulness, his honesty. I think he really causes Michael to make some sort of a choice, or that's the intention that I had at the end. Michael could go back in the closet or he could come out, but at that point he's been told what the quote-unquote truth is by Harold.
The actors who were in the original off-Broadway production also starred in the movie version of Boys in the Band. Did their appearance in a gay-themed movie and play affect their career after The Boys in the Band?
It's something that generally you can say no. There were a couple of actors in the cast who felt that they were stigmatized by it. They seem to be the actors who had the least success with getting other roles, so naturally they needed to blame something. But it certainly had no effect on Leonard Fry's career. He went on to get the role of Mottl the Tailor in the film version of Fiddler on the Roof and was nominated for an Academy Award for that part. That was certainly, he was an innocent Jewish boy in that play, and he was not playing a homosexual at all. Lawrence Luckinbill has gone on to work in all sorts of plays. He was just recently on Broadway in John Robin Bates' new play, A Fair Country. Cliff Gorman, immediately after The Boys in the Band, not quite immediately after, but soon after, got the lead in Lenny, the Lenny Bruce story. He was certainly not a gay comic. He had quite acerbic things to say about gays in his comedy act at the time, as I recall. And it didn't do anything damaging to Cliff's career. Peter White, who played the straight guy in it, is now a regular on the television series ER. He's the head of the hospital, and he's making a movie with Albert Brooks and Debbie Reynolds at the moment. It didn't damage his career. There were a couple of guys who didn't get work and whose careers seemed to fade, and they did take the stance that the play had damaged them. Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
Do you think that your play, The Boys in the Band, ended up being, in a way, an argument to yourself to accept your own homosexuality instead of feeling bad about it?
Perhaps. It's hard for me to really have a definite overview of it. It was done so spontaneously. It was done so without any kind of calculation that, you know, whatever it was about, it was a completely subconscious act on my part. At that point in time, I thought I was just writing a play that expressed my own confusion and rage, and I had no idea what would become of it. At the time, people who knew what I was doing thought maybe I should brace myself that it would never be performed. You know, they thought it was an outrageous notion of mine to even do this, and they wanted me not to have some sort of nervous breakdown if my work was rejected. Ultimately, maybe I would have if I never could have got the play on the boards, but it worked out differently.
Mark Crowley, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you very, very much.
There's a new off-Broadway revival of Mark Crowley's play, The Boys in the Band. The play is included in his new book, Three Plays, published by Allison, and his 1970 movie adaptation will be shown next week at the Philadelphia Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. Crowley will introduce the screenings. This is Fresh Air.